It's Saturday morning, time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. And it is a Saturday morning. Larry is at the other microphone, ready to answer your garden questions. And good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie.
It's a 2019 show, the 19th of January, the 19th day of the year, and that's about as many 19s as I can work in.
My goodness, that was 19 was a long time ago.
It was. January among our driest months of the year.
Yeah, and we're having a lot of rain, which is really, really good. Thank you very much. We need the rain.
We do.
And that's going to bring on in the... The snow for February, usually.
So usually.
If the weather patterns continue like this, it could be a rather snowy, nasty February. Traditionally, we have a lot of our snow in February.
Yes, we do. And a lot of the country well east of the Mississippi looking for snow later on, but that's further north and further east than us.
So. Yeah, so, well, anyway, we could, statistically, it is time for one.
It is.
So, anyway, we did have some unusual weather patterns in the past.
We have.
A little bit warm for a while, and the maple trees' buds started to grow, but they've arrested their development somewhat.
Stop.
So I don't think they're going to really bloom. So we're probably still going to have twirly gigs, and some of the birches were starting to bloom, but they kind of stopped. And let's just hope the sweet gum trees bloom out real, real good. The weather's supposed to be fairly warm this week, and maybe we will get some development on those. And that'll stop all them blasted gumballs. But
that would be helpful.
Anyway, some of the trees are bleeding right now when they bloom, the birch trees and maple trees.
Yeah.
So when you prune them, then it
I like the star-shaped leaves on the sweet gum tree. There are certain attributes of the sweet gum that I do like.
The sweet gum is a very sturdy tree, very adaptable.
Yeah.
As far as that's concerned. Because of its extensive root system, it'll grow about anywhere. And it grows straight and upright. Historically, it's been a good seller in our nursery or any nursery. Now, we say sweet gum, and people go, they laugh at you. But anyway.
Okay, it does
drop
some fruit.
The beauty of them was, when they were young, they were straight and upright, straight as an arrow, where the pin oaks looked like a question mark, and the red buds and others. And people were kind of turned off by that. But that's typical of their development when they're young, is this crookedness.
Yeah.
They outgrow it, like a lot of people. You know, they outgrow their... gawky adolescence and turn girls. But anyway, so the sweet gum is not one of my favorites. In fact, it's one of my most hated trees.
But you do have a list that we were going to pull out for one of our programs in December on Larry's least favorite trees.
Least favorite trees, and that's on the list. But anyway, so that's as far as the sweet gums are concerned. I don't think they're going to really get. Their gumballs have not been cut back any. So anyway, it is still time to cut things back if you want.
Okay.
So a long period of time. It's getting closer to the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. What, about 3 weeks away?
Let's see. One more weekend in January and then, 2 weekends in February. Uh-huh. So 3 weeks. You're right.
Yeah. By then, the daffodils will be coming up and actually starting to bloom a lot. Believe it or not,
wow.
Middle of February.
I know. I know what happens. It just seems early. But you're right. That's right on schedule.
Uh huh. Yeah. So things are just around the corner. So be ready.
Okay.
A lot of stuff to do in the garden.
Boy, there is. There's a lot of things to do.
Time to stock up on pre-emergent for the beds, maybe get a load of mulch brought in or something.
You could do that.
Get ready for that.
Yeah.
And get the storehouse and stuff done. Get the lawnmower worked on. It'll be scalping time. 1st of April.
Now would be a great time if you plan on getting that mower into a professional, have it tuned up and a new blade put on and that sort of thing. They probably are not nearly as busy now as they will be in 3 weeks.
And it's actually time to start thinking about landscaping. This morning I emailed out some plans to some people.
Good.
So things are going pretty good on that too. So anyway...
Yes.
It's almost here.
You can almost smell spring, but it's not here yet.
Yeah. Think about how well your vegetable garden did last summer, too.
Sure.
And what you can do to improve things. Drainage, perhaps.
I haven't seen the new burpee catalogs, but I'm sure they're out there and people are flipping
through those.
Yeah,
they're out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the new vegetables and things. So it's kind of an exciting time to sit and worry and not worry, sit and think.
Yes.
And think, oh, this year we'll have great tomatoes.
I'm sure the giant pumpkin growers are already trying to figure out how to come up with even larger pumpkins.
Yeah, I met with one of them about drainage on his property and how to improve that somewhat.
Yeah.
And we discussed several options.
So, okay.
The land.
Well, that was at the caller last December, I guess it was, asking about a French drain.
And exactly, that, yeah. Went out and visited and looked at. There's enough cross slope in it.
Okay.
I really think, and then you felt the soil. I really felt the soil just needed a little modification as far as ground prep is concerned. The soil looked real good and felt real good, but it wasn't very porous.
Mm-hmm.
So adding some coarse organic material and some coarse sand to that soil will enhance its porosity.
Okay.
So perhaps that's all that was needed. And if you did have some issues with poor drainage last summer in your garden, you might consider doing something similar to help the soil aerate.
Mm-hmm.
And maintaining a consistent level of moisture, too, as well as having good drainage, are two important things to do, too.
Speaking of aeration, I'm sure that the lawn companies will be contacting people fairly soon. Do we want to come out and aerate your lawn this year? I think I remember you saying like about every 3 years is optimal, or was it every 2 years?
Yeah. You have the option of aerating or coring, and the results are pretty similar.
Okay.
The two, aeration typically involves a spike-like thing that you drag across the yard that's weighted and breaks up all your sprinkler heads.
You'll do that.
And coring is another one where they actually take cores out. At any rate, in both of those, when the holes are open, you might want to consider screeding over some coarse sand, maybe some gypsum, or some loose soil in there to enhance that porosity. If you just poke a hole in the ground, it's going to fill in with the same stuff around it. So I would
consider,
doesn't
like vacuums very
consider
well,
screeding off those the plugs,
and
then perhaps running some soil loosening enhancing material in there, such as those two things. So anyway, that's a possibility too, and you might sign up for that pretty soon, get that out of the way, so you don't have to wait in line to have it done. Sprinkler systems, we've done so. We've finished one up downtown.
Okay.
We've got one on the on the docket. We're getting ready to start, and another one that's the contractor's working at it, and we'll get to it as soon as we get. He's just not ready for us yet. But anyway, so I do have a lot of sprinkler systems online right now to do. So it's time to think about a design for sprinkler systems, so you know what to expect. And there are a lot of options on that too.
There are.
The basic option will be just a timer and valves and all that, and no frills kind of thing. But we like to go beyond that. We like to use some freeze protection on your backfill preventer.
Right.
And a more versatile timer as far as being able to program different areas and separate different regions and program them differently.
Rather than
just run everything for 10 minutes and call it a day, you know, that you're wasting water.
Yeah.
So. And there's some internet options on that too. Pretty cool.
Okay.
We're are exploring a relatively new timer, one called Beehive, which lets you program it and operate it from your lounge chair.
Oh,
but we discussed this in the past.
Yes, we have.
And you can actually put the Alexa on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Say, water my grass. You know, up they go. So that's possible too. I don't know about that. All that tech stuff, really. A lot of my customers, they like to just manually turn it on.
Okay.
If there's an area of the yard they see needs water, they go to the timer, turn the dial, push the button, and that area waters. And they do it manually. But if not everybody is able to stay at home and observe the moisture in the property. So they're making them as responsive as possible to the environment. They take hints from the weather service as to wind direction and precipitation and other stuff that's happened, and whether it's cloudy or sunny and evaporation rates and so on, all that is accounted for in these computer things. So,
well, it makes it smarter.
Anyway, if you're kind of geeky, it's a lot of fun.
You would think at least it would optimize the use of your water, that if the wind is blowing from the north, then it will compensate somehow to put the water where it actually needs to go.
Right. Water is a very valuable commodity. It's more precious to us than gold as far as living is concerned. So we want to utilize it as best as we can.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, cool. So anyway, in the garden, of course, water your trees and shrubs. Good deep watering is better than a shallow watering. Like I said earlier, trim your trees and shrubs. Time to cut back that clematis if you haven't yet. It's probably the last week you want to do that because it will be starting to come up pretty soon.
Okay.
Spring weeds are starting to sprout. Mm-hmm. So we talked about a couple weeks ago about using Roundup.
Yes.
When the weather's warm enough. I believe this week we might get a little bit of warmth this week.
Looks like, let's see, 53.
Nope, ain't warm enough.
A high for high near 53 on Monday, a high near 51 on Tuesday, just barely in the range where it could do you some good. Yeah.
You'll probably get some effect if you do it on Monday because Monday night's supposed to be fairly warm. Mm-hmm. A lot of these winter weeds will grow and develop fairly quickly. They take full advantage of any warm spell that Mother Nature has to offer. And they grow and develop and start making flowers real soon to ensure their survival next year. So we want to kind of be on top of things and be prepared for that. And glyphosate is a good way to do that. Or you can just pull them too, you know, or bring the cows in to eat them up.
That would work too.
Yeah. So whatever.
800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass, and we will continue in just a moment. Brent Walker's in from United Rentals, and Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses, so we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Have you got the winter blues? Make your home feel like summer with tropical plants from Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Green Thumb, as you know, is the home to the largest selection of tropical plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a great selection of plants for inside the home. Fill your home with vibrant houseplants, cactus, hanging plants, and more. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nevada Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything, from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener. Locally, 918-336-1400. We have a caller that hopefully hung on during the break. Good morning, caller. You are on with Larry Glass. What can we do for you today?
Good morning. Speaking of Roundup, a couple weeks ago when it was 50 for 2 or 3 days, I sprayed Roundup, and it seemed to work on things, except I have this little bunch of stuff. It's a green, real fine sort of blade something that comes, it's in a little clump, and it grows out at an angle, if you will.
Sounds like Poa annua.
I'm sorry?
Sounds like Poa annua.
Okay.
It
just laughed at me.
Yeah, perhaps it wasn't quite warm enough for it to work on that. It could be, it might need just a little bit more time, keeping in mind the temperature of what it is, and for the Roundup to really be effective. So.
Okay. So just wait and see once it warms up for another period.
If the sun will ever shine, Charlie, perhaps it'll get warm enough for it to really do its job, and it'll knock it out eventually. you might want to consider reapplying. And be sure to use a spreader sticker with your Roundup. It's got some in it already, typically. But there's some fine hairs on that, and perhaps it could be bouncing off of it, too. Look very closely at it after you spray and see see if it's adhering nicely.
Okay. Well, I put detergent, you know, a little bit of detergent wetting agent in it.
Yeah.
But I'll do that. So.
Okie doke.
Yeah, and I don't know if we can depend on Charlie for sunshine or not.
It looks like he's going to do a good job this week. At least on Monday, it's going to be sunny.
Okay, good. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for the call. I don't mind the abuse. It's okay. 800-749-5936 is the telephone number that gets you onto Green Country Gardener. And, Larry, if it makes you feel better, go ahead.
No, it's all right. Anyway, tree of the week is the Blue Atlas Cedar.
Okay.
Cedrus atlantica glauca.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlas Cedar is native to the Atlas Mountains of Morocco and Algeria, hence the name.
Oh, okay.
So, we got a caller.
We do have a caller. Good morning. You are on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I had a question about grafted tomatoes. I recently was reading an article and wasn't even aware there was such a thing.
Mm.
I did purchase some seeds for rootstock. It's supposed to be disease-resistant, drought-tolerant, and those kind of things. And I'm planning to try to graft tomatoes that I will start from seed onto the rootstock.
Okay, sounds intriguing.
What can you tell me about that?
No, I really have not personally done any grafting of the tomatoes.
Okay.
I haven't really looked at any research on it either, so I'll have to look into that.
I guess this is something that's been taking place in countries where the land is not available and so forth. And anyway, I'm going to give it a try, and I thought maybe... wondered what you might say about it.
Right. I would go ahead and give it several trials, really, rather than a single one. And they probably don't cut off the entire top stalk when they graft. I would say they probably do a branch off of the main plant just to keep the main plant alive. It is an herbaceous annual, so I can imagine, without really researching this or looking at it, that they would have a mother plant that stays intact and then graft a side shoot on it. And then one gets established.
I think the process I've read, you cut off just below the first two leaves on each of the, on the rootstock plant. And then you cut off the top from the improved variety that you're going to put on there.
Right.
And there's a little silicone slip that you can put down and put the two together and hopefully get them to take to graft. So.
Interesting. It sounds like an interesting idea.
It does. Anyway, I have the little silicone clips, and I've got some seed, and maybe I can report later.
Well, good luck. Good luck with
it. Yeah, please do.
Oh, okay.
Grafting tomatoes. You. Wow. You'd want to get a rootstock that is fairly aggressive, really, that has a very aggressive root system.
Right.
It seems to be the biggest.
And that's what I hope. That's what I hope I have.
Yeah.
So
okay. Well,
thank you.
Thanks for calling, and keep us abreast of that.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Thank you very much. I'd be curious if the caller will check back in a few weeks to kind of give us a progress report on how things are going.
You probably grafted a big boy onto a heirloom tomato, perhaps.
Well, that would.
The heirlooms are basically they're cross-pollinated or in the wild, basically. They're not really, there's no, and over the years.
They didn't end up in somebody's laboratory somewhere.
No.
Nature's laboratory.
Right. And there's actually been quite a following of the heirloom tomatoes for their durability and so on. So anyway, important thing with tomatoes, we were talking about Blue Atlas Cedar, but we can go backtrack to tomatoes.
It's to
examine their requirements. They do like a slightly acidic soil, pH of 6.5.
Okay.
And a good, loose, open soil, which really people strive to get on their tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But the chemistry has to be correct. Excuse me, my goodness. And I like to give them some calcium.
Okay.
And calcium can be in the form of gypsum, calcium sulfate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The tube in gypsum, it doesn't really alter the pH of the soil. It just kind of stays the same when you use the gypsum. You might want to also add some of the magnesium sulfate, Epsom salts to the soil.
But both of which would be readily available as opposed to bone meal or something that takes some natural processes to make the calcium available.
Take a soil sample of your soil prior to doing all that to see if the soil pH is pretty close to where you want it to be. A lot of times our soil pH here tends to run a little bit high, 7.5 to 8 in some cases. Mm-hmm. And I found it down to 5.5 in some cases in town. So because of our rather diverse rock composition, mm-hmm. we do have from one block to another, the soil chemistry can change.
Sometimes from front yard to backyard, but yeah.
Yes, really. So knowing your baseline would help a whole lot in being successful in growing your tomatoes.
So, again, the optimum pH for tomatoes in the garden, 6.4, do you say?
6.5 around there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was something, I guess, probably not a home test kit that's readily available on that. Probably would take a test from the extension office, or can you help them out on that?
Yes, I would go ahead and take samples up to the extension office, and it's worth the $15 or so expense to have that done. Just so you can learn what's happening with your soil. Mm-hmm. And take soil from different spots in the garden, too. And that'll give you kind of an average run of what it's going. And it'll let you know sort of where you stand as far as chemistry is concerned.
Okay.
We did. I did that on part of a contract last year. They took soil samples from five different areas in the same one. But we did separate tests for each one. Then we averaged the test out. Mm-hmm. It turns out it didn't need anything. It was just fine.
So, best news of the day.
Having a test run, knowing where you stand, will help you in your success on your garden.
918-336-1400, 800-749-5936. The number is that will get you in the front door and on the air with Green Country Gardener. We will continue with Larry Glass in just a moment.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod: Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store, 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Hi, Brian Pritchard here at Bartlesville CDJ Ram, where we pride ourselves on being able to get people into the car that fits their family's budget. At Bartlesville Chrysler, we work with dozens of lenders and have such a large inventory, I can assure you we're able to get you financed in something in our lot. Don't waste your time at small, high-finance car lots where you can get taken advantage of. Come on out to our large, well-known dealership with a full-service repair shop. If you're in the market for a new vehicle and want a no-pressure, hassle-free buying experience with the area's largest inventory, make that drive down to Bartlesville CDJ. Check us out at BartlesvilleCDJ.com.
Maintain your home's air quality with Filtreat Allergen Defense Air Filters from Peters True Value in Dewey. Right now, they're only $9.99. Your choice. These electrostatically charged filters help minimize microscopic particles like dust, smoke, smog, and bacteria that cause viruses. They also capture large allergens like mold spores, pollen, and pet dander, and they last for up to 3 months. Hurry in for these bargains of the month and other household necessities while supplies last at Peters True Value in Dewey.
Hi, I'm Colonel Greg Gadsden, retired Army colonel and former garrison commander of Fort Belvoir and proud U.S. veteran. I know from personal experience that the road to recovery can be difficult. If you've recently filed a VA disability claim and have to attend a VA claim exam, you've likely got questions. Search compensation and pension exam on va.gov for the answers you need and the benefits you've earned. Your VA claim exam. Know what's next.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
The telephone number that gets you on the air for Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. And we've been taking a few phone calls this morning. Your call is always welcome. We are listener-driven radio on Green Country Village, or Green Country Gardener, rather.
Getting back to the Blue Atlas Cedar.
Yes.
It's a native to the Atlas Mountains of Morocco and Algeria, where it can be found in basically scattered stands around the area at elevations between 3,000 and 6,000 feet.
Okay.
So it does do very well in a somewhat dry climate, I guess, occasionally.
Uh-huh.
It's evergreen with blue, bluish green, or light green foliage. If you want something blue, you might consider the blue Atlas cedar. Anyway, okay. Gloica, which is kind of Latin for blue, Atlas cedar is perfect for specimen planting in the landscape. Now, keep in mind, this plant gets rather large.
How large is large?
Golly, it gets up to 30 feet tall, 40 to 60 feet tall, 30, 40 feet wide in its native habitat. But here it gets about 25 by 12 or so.
That's still sizable, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There are varieties of this, though. One of them called Hortzmann, which has an increased density to it than the regular blue Atlas cedar.
Okay.
And because of that, people can use it in the beds in front of their house and all that for some blue interest.
Okay.
And because it doesn't get as large as the big, wild blue Atlas cedar, the Hortzmann gives you that color without a lot of excessive growth. So, interesting plant.
It is.
It's a little bit more adaptable as far as comparing it to the blue spruce, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, it doesn't have quite the symmetry that blue spruce does. We're kind of at the southern limit of blue spruce here.
Yeah.
There are some really nice ones in town. Blue spruce, and they're planted in a situation where there's open aeration, and say at the top of a hill or something with good drainage, and they're doing quite well. A blue spruce will not grow in our heavy soil if we don't accommodate its drainage requirements.
Yeah, it just says thanks but no thanks. I'm getting out of here.
So anyway, but the blue Atlas cedar can kind of take its place. So the trunk is fairly straight with a lot of lateral branches that are nearly horizontal. Which gives it some structural interest.
Yes.
And, of course, give them plenty of room. They are best located as a lawn specimen on the regular blue Atlas cedar. So you really don't want to prune it. It might look a little odd when it's young, but it'll grow out of that as it grows up. So it's a great specimen interest in the rock garden or as a backdrop or even for a screen planting somewhere.
Okay.
So you might consider, if you want an evergreen plant, that gives you some blue color and does have some screening qualities and some specimen interest to it.
Mm-hmm.
You might consider the blue Atlas cedar. And if you're wanting something close to the house, perhaps you might want to go with the Hortzmann blue Atlas cedar. I like to associate this one with, say, Mughal pines, dwarf nandinas, and boulders to give you some color pretty much all year round with a composition with those incorporated into it. The spring interest with some blooming shrubs, like the flowering almond or some other things that bloom real nice in the spring.
Okay.
So,
I think we
good plant.
Yes, we'll go ahead and take this one and we'll say, first of all, good morning. You are on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you this morning?
Good morning. Thank you. My name is, I've got a question, Gary. I'm going to go over and get ideas and see if it even seems possible. I had five fruit trees.
Okay. Five fruit trees?
Yeah, two pears, two apples, and one... No, I'm sorry. Two pears, two peach, and one apple.
Okay.
They're located pretty close to my pond, and we had a beaver get in the pond, and he cut down all five of those fruit trees.
Oh, my.
And so now I've got stumps that are 10 to 12 inches tall.
And how tall are they?
10 to 12 inches.
Okay, yes.
And the stumps are probably, you know, I mean, these were 5 or 6 year old trees, but the stumps are 4 or 5 inches in diameter. And I'm thinking of the idea of trying to get some pieces to graft with and graft into those stumps.
Okay.
Does that sound like a possibility? They've been totally dormant. They were set about a month ago, and I don't know how early I would have to get this done. And I don't know if it even sounds reasonably possible with a stump of that size that's been cut off that low down to the ground.
Yeah, there's a very good chance, being cut off that high, that there's a lot of graft left on there, on the top.
Right.
So it should go ahead and issue some new branching coming off of that.
I've thought about that, too. I'm afraid that they'll try to come off there and lay the old graft.
Yeah, you're going to get some subgrafts as well. So you'll have to be able to differentiate between the above graft and the subgraft and try to cut back on the subgrafts as much as possible.
Right, yeah.
But you might go ahead and this year, go ahead right now, clean up the wounds of the tree, if you will, so there's no real raggedy edges or anything on it.
Right.
And flatten the cuts, if they are. I imagine they are kind of ragged looking.
Oh, yeah. They're in a standard cone looking kind of shape, and it's very similar level.
Looks like somebody chewed on it.
Yeah. So you might cut them off and do the cut at about a, don't cut them just flat across the top, but give a bit of an angle so when it rains, it'll run off a little bit.
Okay.
And then use some sealer on it. The bituminous, okay. Bituminous tree wound dressing would be the best thing on it.
Right. I've got some.
Okay. And just put a beaver trap out too, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, and just see what happens with that. And if that doesn't happen, you can try grafting, but you're going to be running out of time waiting for it to come out to do a graft. So you have to act pretty quickly on it.
Yeah, it's part of what I didn't know was how early I would have to. I could have grafted something into there. I just didn't do like a thin flat graft up at the very top end.
Yeah, you might go ahead and do that and see if the grafts take. And if it sends out some new branches, well, you'll have a 5-in-1 apple tree, I guess.
How early would I have to do the grafting?
You want to start that around February.
Around February.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's when things start to wake up on these plants, and it'll go ahead and grow and develop real well. Middle, late February or so would be probably a good time to do that when they start really actively growing.
I mean, I think I'll probably try what you suggested, if it's still both ways.
Yeah.
Graft in a piece on each one and try to work any seeds that I can get out to get one well.
Were the trees very large that were eaten up, or are they real small ones?
No, they were fairly large for what they were. They were all a dwarf variety of the tree.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And at this time, they were probably 8 or 9 feet tall.
Oh.
On the crowns, they were 8 or 9 feet. Maybe even 10, and at least a good 8 foot to 9 foot spread. They were fairly decent size for what they were. They were basically full grown trees. They were just still quite young.
Right.
I'd always put them in like this size.
Huh. Well, perhaps some electric fencing or something around them will keep the beavers away.
Yeah. Well, those. Particular beaver, I think I've waited to move on to a better
place.
You have to watch them all the time. You've got to find them every year. You've got to watch the trees.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
That's great. All right. Well, thank you for calling.
Best of luck on that graft, if that's the method that you choose on that.
Jeez, yeah. A few years ago, a customer called and a raccoon scratched the bark on his dogwood tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, just wrap it up with some tree wrap. It'll come out okay, and it did.
Yeah.
It filled in and grew okay. So, but put the bird feeder further away from the tree, so they won't be having a tendency to do that.
Yeah.
So that's what the problem was altogether. But anyway, it healed up and recovered okay.
800-749-5936. We will continue Green Country Gardener in just a moment.
Have you got the winter blues? Make your home feel like summer with tropical plants from Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Green Thumb, as you know, is the home to the largest selection of tropical plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a great selection of plants for inside the home. Fill your home with vibrant houseplants, cactus, hanging plants, and more. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
Find out what's going on in the church around the world as Bartlesville's Voice of the Martyrs works to bring the Word of God to all the nations. Listen to AM 1400 KWON just before 9 o'clock Monday through Friday mornings for The Overcomers, brought to you by Brian and Little CPAs. The Overcomers is a daily update on the projects around the world where the church is being persecuted. That's The Overcomers, weekday mornings on AM 1400 KWON, brought to you by the accounting firm of Brian and Little CPAs.
when you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overly's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Do you want the best for your child? January 20th through 26th is School Choice Week. If you're interested in passing on your values to your children, strengthening their walk with Christ, and getting a great education, then you need to check out homeschoolnowusa.org for local homeschool information meetings happening right now in your area. You can homeschool, and we can help. homeschoolnowusa.org. That's homeschoolnowusa.org.
The telephone number to get you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning with Larry Glass. We are taking your phone calls, and Larry, so far we've had a good number so far.
Sure. Yeah, a little bit of activity going on in the wintertime. That leads us up to the shrub of the week, which is the blue holly.
Okay.
It's one of my most liked and one of my least liked hollies.
Okay, I'll take your word.
There's a variety of blue holly called China Girl, and another called China Boy. It's a tough and rugged plant. Of course, hollies are dioecious, and that kind of gives you a clue as to which one does what. But anyway,
right?
And they get pretty good size and all that.
Yeah.
And there's others. There's one called Little Rascal
Holly. Okay.
Which shows a lot of promise, but it's kind of been kind of a failure
around here.
It's a really good plant. It's very compact and small growing and has all the attributes of a holly, the shiny leaves that turn kind of purplish in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, for some odd reason, it just does not like our soil here. The little rascal doesn't.
Might perform much better in some other parts of the country.
It kind of reminds me of the Japanese holly, which can be really, really, really picky.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when we order Japanese hollies for somebody, yeah, they're the small leaf from the Japanese hollies. Yeah, okay, you need five of them. Will we order 10? He'll leave five of them at the nursery because they're going to replace 30% of the Japanese hollies.
Okay.
They're just not that well adapted to our climate or our soil. Some Japanese hollies are doing pretty well in some parts of town, in the lower parts of Woodland Park.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing really well in some parts, but in Colonial and there, they just don't work.
Well.
So anyway, so the blue holly is a medium-sized broadleaf evergreen ornamental shrub. Approximately 8 feet tall, 8 feet wide, but highly variable depending on the variety, those ones I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And culture, it likes full sun, and it'll tolerate full sun and full shade. It likes average, but tolerates, it likes, you know, moist, well-drained soil, but it tolerates average to poor soils. And pH adaptable to neutral, even slightly alkaline, which is a good point as far as a holly is concerned. It's adaptable to neutral or slightly alkaline soils.
So it's in that sense, it really gives you a lot of applications,
right,
as far as where you can do it.
But
yeah.
But sometimes we take the alkalinity a bit too far.
Certain parts of the country, yes.
Yeah, and so they don't, because they don't do really well on that.
I think
so,
the operant word there was slightly.
Yeah, well, it's tolerant to slightly alkaline soils. So yeah, so slightly. Hollies generally require a low pH. Hybrids are propagated by rooting or stem cuttings, and winter leaf stem burn may occur here if we have some pretty bad weather.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be a little touchy as far as the weather is concerned. But really, they have a lot of attributes about them, and one of them is the compactness of the growth of the blue holly.
Mm-hmm.
The berries, exhibiting berries, if you will, on them is another one. And the fact that it does respond very well to pruning and shaping is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely one to consider in the landscape, but it doesn't like a whole lot of hot sun.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't like poor drainage, and it doesn't like really high pH. So we would probably treat these as we would any holly, and we just planted a bunch of big old hollies downtown, and took out all the soil and put new in with some peat moss and other stuff. So
that's what
we got. A caller?
We do have a caller. Good morning. You are on Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. How can we help you out today?
Yes, I just wonder, remind the listeners that this is not the time of the year to be trimming your river birch trees.
Right, they should have been pruned earlier.
And are there any other species that have the same
maples
characteristic?
Yeah, the maples around here. The only reason why you wouldn't want to prune them right now is the fact that they just bleed all over the place. So,
right.
And that attracts a lot of pests. You get ants in there and some other animals, and you even get birds drinking the stuff. They like it. So, but
maples and river birch are the two then?
Uh-huh, they're the two, yeah. And maybe sweet gums too, but if they bleed and kills them, well, so what? But but your maples.
Somebody spent money on that sweet gum tree, Larry.
Well, they can buy them a chainsaw. But anyway, they would, yeah, those two I would definitely, about this is the absolute latest time.
And the reason I bring this up is because we've got some power lines in our neighborhood, and the tree trimmers came.
Yeah.
And I told them not to trim my river birch, and they didn't understand why.
Yes. So. Oh, okay. Did they trim them?
They did. I did not let them.
Oh, okay. Cool. Okay.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. That's, the tree trimming crews have a single mission.
Actually, river birch, I like to prune them after the flush in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of slowed down. Actually, when that happens, the river birch, after they flush and starts to get hot, they actually defoliate somewhat. They put on all these leaves over here to photosynthesize and make a lot of carbs for the roots and all that in the spring.
Right.
Then in the summertime, they just kind of slow down a little bit. And I don't need that. Just drop it off. We get the phone rings all the time. It's just what they do.
Yeah.
And you can spend lots of money on water, but it is still defoliate. It's a temperature issue. It's just a physiological reaction to the weather. So actually river birch are very tolerant to very adaptable plants. They can grow in a drier area too as well. They're just not as pretty as they are in a moist area. Mm-hmm. So
we will continue with your phone calls on Green Country Gardener, 918-336-1400 locally, or 800-749-5936, and we'll take your call in just 2 minutes.
Keep track of important dates on your new 2019 desk calendars from your Bartlesville radio station. Each day has plenty of room to write in appointments, reminders, and special events. Stop and ask for your free calendar at any of the following locations. The room at the top at Johnstone Sayer Building, Central National Bank, Waters Heating and Air, and Pierce Arrow in Pawhuska. You'll find your new calendar a valuable tool to keep dates, appointments, and reminders at hand. And they fit nicely on your desk at home. Get your free 2019 calendar at any of these locations: Salt Creek Marketplace in Pawhuska, Bartnett IP, Paws, and Blue Stem Aerial Sprayer, Nowata Road Liquor. It's the new 2019 Bartlesville Radio Calendar, and you can get yours today at Bartlesville Print Shop, Crazy Cow Western Boutique in Pawhuska, the Dewey Hotel, Osage Home Health in Pawhuska, and Bartlesville Ambulance, and right here at the radio station, K1, KYFM, KRIG, and KPGM.
It's almost time for the annual Interstate Farm and Home Show. Hi, I'm Tammy Brinkman, the sales manager at KRIG. Business owners, let me tell you how you can put your business in front of 3,000 potential customers. The 2019 Interstate Farm and Home Show is Friday and Saturday, March 1st and 2nd at the Coffeyville Community College. We'll bring together the best goods and services in the region, and your business can play a big role. Come see what's new for today's home, farm, and business. You can feature your business in the show with many ways to participate. Spaces are available inside or out. Sign up today for the 2019 Interstate Farm and Home Show, March 1st and 2nd, brought to you by KRIG, KGGF, and Bartlett Co-op. Call me, Tammy Brinkman, at KRIG today, or visit interstatefarmandhomeshow.com for more information.
A telephone number that gets you on to Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. It's still about 7.5 minutes. Plenty of time for several phone calls this morning with Larry.
Right. Speaking of holly.
Okay, let's speak of holly.
I have a deciduous holly in the backyard.
You do?
It's a native plant.
Okay.
And they are, the primary attribute is are the berries in the winter.
Those are usually pretty bright.
It was very bright. Put on a really, really big show this winter.
Yeah.
However, we did have a bit of a warm spell.
We did.
And they ripened a little early.
Oh.
Well, the robins discovered it. One day, there must have been 10,000 holly berries on that thing.
Now they're all over your sidewalk.
Gone. And they were just the robins are kind of lonely. They don't fly in herds,
right?
Or
I'm not sure the collective
gaggle, I guess, whatever they, in a flock, if you will.
Tony Randall was the best person ever with all the collective nouns for different, yes, different animals.
But
for a Tulsa guy, he did okay.
They didn't really.
Yeah,
he's a comedic genius. but anyway, the flock of robins just came in and just decimated my deciduous holly.
Yeah.
But it was pretty while it lasted. Typically, that doesn't happen until February. But they really cleaned it up. So I have a lot of little fat robins right now. So,
well, thank you for feeding the robins.
Yeah, so they'll probably attack the Yopon holly next. They have a Pride of Houston out front that is just red with berries on it right now. So I imagine they won't last long either. But they enjoyed it while they were at it. So anyway.
Birds seem to be really sensitive to some colors, and obviously the robins like red.
Right. So the getting back to the blue holly, you might consider putting some blue hollies in just for the berry show. We do have a variety of holly. It's not a blue holly, but it's called cherry bomb holly. And they still have a lot of berries on them. And they have them up front at the nursery. The good thing about them is the leaf really has no thorns.
I like that.
From a holly standpoint, it's really an attribute, I would say.
Yes.
And the berries on it are rather large. They're the size of pumpkins.
Well,
not really. But they have really large berries on them, hence the name cherry bomb.
Uh-huh.
And because of its winter show, it's used for some winter interest in some landscapes.
Sure.
So it's a good one to have also. And, of course, all the other, what we talked about, the blue holly, the soil pH and all that,
mm-hmm.
we have to make sure they're in a situation where the pH has been adjusted for them to really do quite well.
Okay.
So the hollies, there's a lot of different ones out there that can be used in the landscape. And
different sizes, whether they're miniature or dwarf or full size, and
right.
different heights and widths.
The cherry bomb doesn't get too obnoxiously big, really, in the landscape, so it's a good one. We've got quite a few of them there to, mm-hmm. for you to look at. They're a little expensive, but they're well-behaved.
I would think well-behaved hollies would be something that would be something you'd want to have in your yard.
Exactly.
Yeah. Teach it some manners, by golly.
That's all they did. The geneticists had fun with that. Speaking of geneticists, there's a lot of new annuals coming out this year.
What can we expect in new annuals?
A lot of different colors in the petunias and the million bell plants.
Mm-hmm.
There's some new colors of those coming on. The red hot item are succulent plants, too. We have a good selection of those also.
Okay.
They make good patio plants, house plants, or whatever.
Oh, sure.
They don't need a lot of care.
They don't even need a lot of water. They tend to do well in drier environment.
Exactly. And as far as new shrubs are concerned, we're still going to carry the crepe myrtles that have an extended blooming season on them.
Mm-hmm.
Start early and end late. And they're really working with these plants over here. As far as roses are concerned, rosette's disease is mm-hmm. still a little bit of a problem. We're working to get some plants that are resistant to that.
Okay.
So, and we'll find out what happens.
I think you said last month that you felt like the rosette disease was starting to run its course around here.
I really think so. I didn't see so much of it last year as I had in the past. Maybe that's because everybody's torn all of them out.
Could be.
The onset of rosette disease typically is coincident with warm areas, an environment which is favored by the mite,
mm-hmm.
which carries it. So those that typically don't have the rosette disease are in areas that are not associated closely with western walls or driveways or sidewalks or patios or things like that, where it tends to be a bit warmer than normal.
Okay.
So my house is a good case in point. And I've got a ton of knockout roses, but they are shielded from the heat
mm-hmm.
in the afternoon from maple trees and so on. They just get a little bit of midday sun. They still bloom nicely.
Yeah.
But there's no rosettes on them.
Okay.
So...
good for you.
And there are a lot of them in town that really don't have that on it. And some of them do. It's just, I was at somebody's house and their roses were up against a wooden fence. And and they just looked like a broom. I mean, they weren't really attractive. So we're working on that. We're trying to get some plants in that don't get that. So when you plant a rose, you can enjoy it and not have to tear it out shortly after you plant it. So yep. Rosette disease is a real pain in the neck. So
I think the wife is interested in maybe picking up an extra clematis this year. Are there some new varieties out there that you're aware of that you might have in stock soon? Or
we'll have the usual. We have a wide selection of different shapes and colors of flowers and all that. So mm-hmm. Clematis is one that does very well here. It does tend to get a little bit of a bacterial leaf spot in the summertime, so it kind of lacks a bit of interest as far as when they don't bloom is concerned. But you can overlay them with, say, cardinal vine or even morning glories, and you still get some bloom effect on the same trellis. Mm-hmm. I like the cardinal vine, really, myself. It's a very fine, textured leaf, little red flowers on it. It's really quite attractive. You just plant some seeds on the ground, and they come up, and they grow pretty aggressively. So, clematis vines, we'll be having those pretty soon, too.
Okay. And you said this is for the existing ones, so this is kind of the last opportunity to trim them back to the scaffold.
They will be leafing out. They leaf out very, very early and very, very aggressively. So we need to get after it real soon mm-hmm. to trim them back. If you've got just a big bunch of stuff on the top of your clematis vine, you want to cut it back.
Okay.
Because it'll just get bigger and bigger and just going to get ugly. So I do have some customers who just cut them all the way to the ground every year. They mm-hmm. do fine.
Yeah.
Some people leave them up all the way up and they bloom all the way up at the top. So if you cut them back to the scaffolds, they will have a stratification of blooms, so mm-hmm. there's more show that way.
Okay.
Healthier on the plant, too.
Yeah, sounds good.
So,
well, again, real quickly, what's new at the nursery?
By at the nursery and look at what we have as far as houseplants are concerned mm-hmm. and some of the new chemicals out there. We're trying to emphasize people using organics on their lawn chemicals and all that. And when you do your landscape, when you do gardening, Charlie, always keep that shovel sharp. It makes it a whole lot easier.
That's Green Country Gardener.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata.